As always, we appreciate the time that Millie has a chance to be with us and pinch hit when Don and David are out. Remember them as they enjoy a little bit of time away this week on vacation. And again, good to have Miss Millie back with us playing that organ. Good morning. Hope and trust and pray everybody is doing well on a beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day, that He's given us an opportunity to be out and about and in His presence. And we're so glad that you have chosen to be with us today to worship in spirit and in truth at Central Baptist Church. And if you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito, who's monitoring our online audience today. As always, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can type them right in there, and if Dr. John doesn't get you an answer, he will get you an answer. If he can't give you one immediately, he'll make sure to get one. Hey, look at somebody over there and give him a wave. This is the post-COVID handshake and a smile, but now, like I said, don't look like a typical Southern Baptist, all right? Yeah, don't sit there and go. I mean, at least look like you're happy to be here. And alive and well. I love it, Bill. That's it. That's it. Good to be on the top of the side and taking nourishment. But again, we're so glad that you have chosen to join us here today. We just ask that the Lord would speak to our hearts as we prepare our hearts to gather around His Word and together in worship today. Let's call on Him in a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to You once again, we're grateful and thankful for this opportunity. Lord, help us to never take for granted. Lord, I know that the days seem to be getting worse, and there may be a time when that is coming forth. But I pray that Lord, we will truly be able to hide Your word in our heart, that it would give us strength, that we might be able to stand in those days. Father, I pray that as we lift up our voices here in just a few moments, that we truly would concentrate on the words that we're saying, that they wouldn't just simply be words that come from our mouth, Father, but words that come from our heart, that go straight to Your ears. Lord, we're grateful as Your word tells us that, Lord, our praises to You are such a sweet savor to You, and that You inhabit the praise of Your children. So today, Lord, help us in every aspect of what we do to honor and glorify You in this service. And Lord, we do pray this prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning as well. If you would please turn with me to hymn number 247, Come Thou Almighty Mighty King. Please stand with me as we sing.
Come Thou
As most of us know, today is a special day on the calendar, and hopefully a special day in each and every one of our hearts. What day is it? It's Father's Day. It's a time when we have that opportunity to honor our dads. And as I've said on so many different occasions, although today is a good day, and if you're able to still have your dad with you, be sure to thank the Lord for that. Take that opportunity to Give them a call. Let them know how much you love them. There's a lot of folks, even present in this room, present in our online audience, who their dads are no longer with them. And today, it's a tougher day. It's one of those days where your heart hurts a little bit more. And when I say it hurts, particularly for a believer, our heart hurts not because we don't know where they are. They're in the presence of the Lord. And obviously, we would not want them to come back to this mess that we call life. But nonetheless, we miss them. And that's perfectly okay. I love what the Word says. The Word says that for the death of a believer, it says that we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. It doesn't say we don't sorrow at all. It just says our sorrow is a little bit different. It's not a goodbye, it's an I'll see you later. So today, may we truly remember those whose fathers have gone on to be with the Lord, as today is a little bit tougher day. But now for those of us who are here that have the the glorious honor of being called a dad, we want to take just a moment to be able to recognize you. So where all of our dads, if you're a dad here, and it doesn't matter whether you're a, a visitor, a guest, if you are a dad, please stand with us. Yeah, dad's a title that goes with us everywhere. Okay, now, as always, we've got a little something that we want to be able to give you just to show our appreciation to you dads today. And I'll tell you what it is. Let me see one of those real quick. We want to, dads, we want to give you a hand today. So you know, like I say, you know how it is with dads. Mother's Day always seems to be a little bit bigger than what Father's Day is. But this is one of those hands. Now, I want to encourage you dads to do something with these. Be sure to give it to somebody, give it to mama or somebody like that, and let them use it to be able to see. Mark's already using his today. He said that'll be a good thing for today's service. But on the other end, as you get a little bit older, some of us have a little bit more trouble reaching over to get our shoes on. So on the other end, we got a little something to help you out too. You don't have to reach as far because there's a shoehorn on the back side of that. And thank you, hon. So that's just a little something that we want to share with you. Did we miss anybody? Does everybody have a little momentum of a Father's Day from Central Baptist Church? If we missed you, put your hand up because we don't want anybody to go, unnoticed. All right, now, since we gave you a hand, let's give all the dads a hand today to say how much we love you and how much we appreciate you. We appreciate you guys. You do so much, often unnoticed, but Dad, you have extremely important work to do as fathers and with your children. We're going to take a look at that here shortly within our scriptures, maybe a different angle on a familiar passage of scripture. So please join us as we once again continue to worship in song.
Dad Rick McClure down from Roanoke today, and his wife Debbie here. He's to sing with us. We were going to be a duet, and we realized we can't hit the high notes, and we asked Madeline to join us, and so we're excited to be singing Day by Day today.
Beyond all special mercy for each hour. All my cares He faithfully would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of the child and treasure, is a charge that on Himself He laid. As Thy days, Thy strength and being in measure, is the pledge to be He made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust Thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith, sweet consolation.
Going to tell Brad, I said, I didn't know he had a twin brother. Yeah, that was great. Appreciate Mr. McClure being with us today to share, and I'm sure it was a joy to have the opportunity today to serve the Lord and serve in the Lord's house as a father and son on this Father's Day. If you have your Bible, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel chapter 17 today. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And as you find that, a couple things I want to mention, because I have not communicated this well over the past probably month and a half. But the baby bottles that you took and you have where you're collecting change that goes to the Crisis Pregnancy Center, once again, what that does is that actually helps provide ultrasounds for ladies that are considering abortion. And it's an overwhelming statistic that those who have the opportunity to see that little child, a majority of the time, a high percentage of the time, once they see that child as a child, decide to keep that child. So as you collect that change and you put it in those baby bottles, and we send that to the Crisis Pregnancy Center, that's just one of the things that those monies are used for. Now, the part that I have not communicated very clearly is we usually do this between Mother's Day and Father's Day. So if you have been collecting and gotten a baby bottle, and for some odd reason those baby bottles disappeared like crazy, which I'm hoping that's a good thing. That they disappeared. Now, they did a disappearing act. We need to make sure they do a reappearing act full. So what we're going to be doing is next week, we will ask you to bring those bottles in. And don't fear if you show up and you're like, well, I haven't done anything with mine yet. There's still time. But I want to let you know that next week you can bring them with you. We will take care of getting them. And we don't make our tellers angry. We take those bottles just as they are down to the Crisis Pregnancy Center, and they take care of getting all that tabulated and tallied. And it's a joy to have to use something like a hand truck to be able to take those in. So next week, you can bring those. If you miss that window, just let us know. You can bring them in. We're not going to stick them in the offering plate or anything, but what you can do is you can bring them up. You can just set them along the altar there, and we will make sure that they get where they're going. So everybody good on that? Next week, we will start collecting them. Well, I'll give you a week or two before I actually take them in. So if you didn't get a baby bottle, if you missed out, because some people said, well, every time I went out there, they went away. That's okay. You can still contribute. Bring it in a sandwich baggie, whatever you've got, and we will make sure that it gets into one of those bottles, and we'll make sure that it gets to the Crisis Pregnancy Center. So having said that, I didn't want to forget that because I tend to do that a lot. I do want to say I appreciate the opportunity to go to New Orleans to the Central Baptist Convention, Southern Baptist Convention as a messenger from Central Baptist Church. There we go. Get that right. I do want to say that I've got some information. I will try as best I can to give you a report that is not a lengthy one. I will not do that right now because today's Father's Day and we need to get into the Word. But I do want to say that the Southern Baptist made some very strong statements this year, which have been a long time coming in a good way. So I was tickled with how things went, that our convention is going to stay conservative even amidst the battle and battles that will continue to rage and continue to go on. So I'll try to let you know about amendments, votes, and how those things went as we go forward at a different time than on a Sunday morning during the time where we have come to worship the Lord. So as we look at this Old Testament passage in 1 Samuel chapter 17, I actually wanted to use a passage that's familiar to each and every one of us. Now, some of you have probably already turned there and you've tried to get ahead of the game and you said, oh, what's he going to preach on today? And you've looked down through there trying to find a link to where Father's Day would, yeah, it's like, well, how do you get a Father's Day passage, you know, out of this particular passage? Well, I'm going to link that in just a moment, but this is a passage that most of us know, most of us are familiar with. This is where we get into talking about David and Goliath, an age-old story that most of us remember from Bible school and Sunday school when we were children. And we see David standing confident against his enemies in the midst of giants. And that is not something that is always easy to do. Let me tell you this, and this is something that you already know. There are going to be giants in your life as you go forward. And all God's people said, there are going to be giants that are going to try to face you down. You're going to feel at times that you stand alone when you stand on God's will and God's word. There are going to be times when it seems like it is simply you against the world. But I want to tell you, it isn't just you against the world, because as a believer, the good Lord goes everywhere with you, and you and he make a majority when you decide to stand on his word. Plain and simple. But that's the key. When you decide to stand on his word. And I want you to know something else. When we choose to stand on his word, we can do that confidently. We can have confidence that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he says that he is going to do. We have a great example of that when we look at this story of David and Goliath. And many would say that the story of David and Goliath has actually nothing to do with Father's Day. Now, the truth be known, yeah, the ancient story of a little guy whipping a big guy against all odds does indeed have something to do with Father's Day and life, in fact, for that matter. Yeah, it's tied together. It is Father's Day. It's also the Lord's Day. So therefore, how do we find courage and strength for dads as we go forward in the midst of the struggles that we have? Now, enter a young man by the name of David, you know, who faced off with this giant called Goliath. And it's a very remarkable story about a guy who had a remarkable faith and a very remarkable God. You know, this is actually one of the best known stories about David throughout all the stories we read about him in the Bible. Yeah, and this particular event has inspired people all through life. It has inspired painters, musicians, and poets throughout the time of it happening all the way up through to today. And this story actually serves as a metaphor for the possibilities that lie with the underdog. Everybody likes a good underdog story, don't you? When the little guy wins. Now, I don't know about you all, but I've always been, you know, and I'm a sports fan. Most of you all know that. And when my team is out there playing, I am pulling for them. When my team is no longer part of it, guess who I pull for? The underdog. I want to see the underdog win. You know, I enjoy college baseball as well. One of the underdogs in the fight this year is, believe it or not, Oral Roberts University. Nobody's ever really heard of them as a baseball team, but they are in the College World Series. I'm kind of rooting for them until they play Wake Forest, and then I'll be rooting for Wake Forest. But nonetheless, everybody likes to see the Cinderella story. Everybody likes to see the underdog win. And the reason why is because nobody gives them a chance. Everybody seems to write them off because the opposing team is so much bigger, so much more seemingly prepared, and essentially they're picked to win because in every column they check the box as the one who should win. And we love an underdog story, don't we? They write movies about things like that. Remember the U.S. Olympic hockey team back in the 80s? Remember that one? There have been movies written about that because against all the odds, they come out on top. And this story serves as a metaphor of the possibilities that lie with the underdog. You know, and I think about it. Another one of those underdog victories was the U.S. women's gymnastic team of 1996 in the Olympics in Atlanta. They were actually praised by the media as a David over Goliath type victory. So we understand what's taking place and what's going on. But what I want us to observe today is that in 1 Samuel chapter 17, this story is much more than a matter of just simply cheering for the one who is perceived to be a potential loser. You know, what I want us to see is that the David and Goliath personifies the hopes that everybody that has when they stand in the midst of the giants and represent such this devastating evil power. I want to tell you, if you look at our world today, it does not look like we are winning as Christians, does it? It looks like things just continue to get worse and worse. Yeah, I want us to realize that through this story, that there really is a way to stand confident, to be able to overcome the evil forces that prevail as we journey into the future. Now, I'm going to be looking at a couple of different sections out of this very familiar story, but let me go ahead and give you what our text is going to be today. It's 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to begin reading verse 42, because this is where everything essentially comes to a head. Now, we know the story of how the little ruddy David goes out there. He's not even part of the Lord's army. He's a kid. His dad sent him out there to carry some gifts. His dad sent him out there to kind of check on the brothers to see how they're doing, to give a tip of a hat and a gift to the commanders. And David is probably that guy who's sitting there going, hey, I want to do this because I might get to see some action. I might get to check out what's going on. So he goes up there, and what does he see? Now, I'm giving you a little bit of preface to what's going on. He gets up there, and what he finds is that Israel is lined up on one hill, and the Philistines are lined up on the other hill. And what happens is this gigantic 9 foot 9 inches tall. If you do the translation, that is how tall Goliath was. 9'9". Anybody 9'9" around here? I bet he had trouble finding some clothes, didn't he? I mean, if you think about it, let me give you a little bit of perspective. A basketball hoop is 10 feet tall. So he was, 2 inches from hitting his head on a basketball rim if he just stood under it. Now, does that give you a little bit more perception? I mean, you know, I might be looking at him in kneecaps or something. This was a huge guy. This was a gallant warrior. So Goliath goes out and he issues a challenge. He's like, okay, if y'all don't want to fight us, you send me one man. And here's what's going to happen. If you whip me, we'll serve you. If I whip you're a challenger, then you all will serve us. And it's always amazed me. Yeah, there are some similarities to how things are in life today and in the same manner that they were back then. Because if you will read and pay careful attention to this, this was a contest that had been going on for 40 days. Did y'all hear me? 40 days. That's a long time, isn't it? So every day for 40 days, they get up there and go, "I'm your enemy." They issue the challenge, and what does Israel do? Israel turns around and runs. I don't know about you. I am not a patient person. Where am I not patient people? At some point, you're like, you know, cut bait or fish. Let's do something here. I mean, 40 days. That's a month and 10 days. That's almost a month and a half of just sitting there going over the same issue. I'd be sitting there going, okay, somebody do something. Let's go home. Let's whip them. Let's die. But let's get out of this rut that we seem to be in. Wouldn't you all agree? How many of you all would be sick and tired of doing that same thing for 40 days, making no progress? Some of y'all would sit back. Some of y'all would sit back and say, well, that's the Southern Baptist way. We'll committee it to death. Well, 40 days is no time. It is time to do something. So what happens is David is excited. Man, he's sitting there going, oh, hey, he sees the challenge. He's like, oh, this is going to be a good one. And he sees Israel turn and run. He sees them terribly afraid. He says, well, hold on a minute. Wait a minute, this is not the army that I know. This is not the armies of the living God that's important. He said, but who is this? In fact, David actually uses this phrase. He says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that dares to challenge the armies of the living God? Now, do you think David could see that Goliath was big? Do you think that he could see that he was a gallant warrior? Do you think that he could see that this dude was huge? Do you think he knew of his reputation? I believe that he knew all of this, but here's the thing. It didn't matter because he knew who he was, and he knew who the army of Israel was. They were the representatives of God, and if God is for you, then who is against you? You see, I believe that too many times today, what happens is we're too busy looking at how big the enemy is rather than how big our God is. We're too busy being afraid of the taunts of the enemy to stand up and be counted and to stand on the Word of God when we know that this is what the Word of God says. It is time to stand up. Now, let me tell you when you do, let me tell you what's going to happen. You are going to be chastised. You will be made fun of. But does that really matter? I'm going to try not to get on this soapbox. America has the thinnest skin of any particular time in this world that I have ever seen in my life. We get our feelings hurt over the simplest little things. Well, remember the old expression? Suck it up, buttercup. It's time to suck it. Listen, the Lord told us. He said, if you stand for me, then chastisement's going to come. If you stand for me, persecution's going to come. But yet when it does, we act surprised. I can't believe they don't like me anymore. We're too busy trying to be people pleasers rather than God pleasers. And it's time to knock that off. It is time to stand up and be counted. When thus saith the Lord God, it is time to stand on it. I will sit back and say to anybody, I will respectfully disagree with you if it is contrary to God's word. But you better be standing on God's word. This is another sermon for another day. Not on what somebody said, but on what the word of God has said. Don't you dare ever go and say, well, my pastor, no. If you're going to chat Bible with somebody, you better say, thus saith the Lord God in this particular passage, because men are fallible. Pastors are fallible. Don't just, listen, you need to sift everything that you hear from this pulpit through this word. And if it doesn't add up, then you better stand up. You better be counted. You have to point it to the Word of God. And folks, let me tell you, we're going to have to do that more and more and more, because everybody is trying to twist the Word of God to say things that it doesn't say. They're taking it out of context. And, oh, well, the Bible says that this is okay and that that's okay and that this is perfectly fine. And I'm like, au contraire, you're taking that out of context. Everybody wants to take the God is love credo. And that's true. God is love. But God is also the same one that will spank your tail when you get out of line. Well, a God of love wouldn't send people to hell. You're absolutely right. He doesn't. You send yourself there by not choosing Jesus Christ. And he's laid it all out right here in plain black and white. I guess I ought to get to the scripture, shouldn't I? You see, what happened is, David sees this, and he's uptight of this giant. And he's like, how dare the Philistines do this? How dare this giant? Everybody else is trembling. He's got three brothers there that are typical brothers. They're like, go on back home, man. What are you doing here? You don't belong here. You know, like, pfft. And David actually says, look, I just asked a question. So the bottom line is, David's like, I'll take him on. And listen, David hadn't even been there for the 40 days and 40 nights like everybody else. He's like, yeah, I'm going to take him on because he's talking about my God. I'm going to take him on because he is defying the God that I serve. In fact, the God that you serve, Israel's army. Remember, they had forgotten who they were. How many of us today have forgotten who we are in God Almighty? So we see what happens. It builds up to the fact where they're like, okay, I guess, you know what? At least somebody's volunteered to go. Let's let him go. And it's hilarious. Saul says, don't go into combat. You know, here, take my armor. Saul was a big man as well. It'd be like me standing up here preaching in Bill Gray's suit. It looked like a scene from Big or something. Because Bill's a big guy. He's tall, man. The sleeves would be hanging down. The britches would be about to fall. David says this. He says, I cannot use your stuff. Good biblical word. I can't use your stuff, Saul. It's not for me. It's for you. But what I'm going to use is what God has gifted me with. What I'm going to use is what God has given me. And so I'm sure at this particular point, Saul and everybody else are going, we're going to be serving the Philistines when this is over with. What did David have? A sling, a slingshot. But he was confident in it. He was confident in the gift that God had given him. See, I was really debating on whether I was going to preach this particular message today or at graduation, because you know what? For our graduates, God's given you something. He's putting something in your hand to be able to use for him. And it might only look like a slingshot, but a slingshot in the hand of David took down one of the most powerful warriors of that day. A slingshot in the hand of God's person can do mighty, mighty things. To the scripture, 1 Samuel 17, we come up to the face-off. 1 Samuel 17, beginning at verse 42, it says, and when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistines said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Notice that's with a little g. Verse 44, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with a sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And so it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag, and he took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. They fled. Did you get that? David not once said, uh-oh. In fact, he stood with boldness. He stood with courage. And he said, how dare you? You're coming at me with all these weapons of war, and I'm coming to you with what I have because you have defiled my God. I'm coming to you in his name, and I'm going to take you out. He did it with confidence. Why is it that God's people can't stand with confidence today like David stood in that day? Now what we're doing is we're shaking. You think David was shaking? I'll tell you one thing. I think all the army of Israel was going, did he really say that? Did he really? I mean, whoa. He's acting like something else. No, it wasn't that he was acting like something else. He was acting in the courage that he was God's messenger for that moment, and that he was doing what was right according to God and his word. And when you stand on God's word, he knew he would be victorious. And he was. One shot. Boom. Thing says the stone sank into his forehead. I'm sure the Philistines were going, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. Pow. What? And then said David didn't even have a sword. He went and took Goliath's own sword and cut his head off. Now, he didn't say this, but this is kind of what it was like. When he stood there and he held up Goliath's head, he probably looked at the Philistines and said, y'all better run. I'm giving you a chance to run. Because then what happened was Israel got motivated, didn't they? When they saw the courage, they became motivated. Folks, how many Christian people today need to get motivated by seeing the courage of other Christians? Little old David holding up the head of the Philistine says, guys, what are you waiting on? Go get them. And they did, because the Philistines turned and ran. Now, what does all that have to do with Father's Day? Well, let me put it to you like this. David didn't get to be that strong of a Christian person, a believer, just going through life idly. You know, there's some things that we learn, and I want to backtrack just a little bit. Over in 1 Samuel 17:17, David's daddy's name was Jesse. And if you look in 1 Samuel 17:17, it's just earlier in this particular chapter, it says, then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephod of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000 and see how your brothers fare and bring back news of them. So, and we know this, but here's something else you need to understand. Jesse evidently had some means, because cheese was a big deal. He said, look, I want to send a care package to your brothers. They're out there fighting the good fight. You take this up there. And by the way, when you go up there, take these cheeses to the captain. A show of display of the honor for the captain. And so David's doing this. He's on this journey. He's pretty excited. He's going to get up there. He's going to see what's going on up there at the front. And he doesn't really like what he sees. And, of course, now we kind of start getting back into, you know, what led up to what happened and what took place and David doing what he did. But I want us to pause for just a moment because I said I want you to look at something a little bit different in this passage. What was it that gave David what he had when it came to standing courageously for God Almighty? Do you think that it just happened upon him? No. Do you think that there were times in life that his daddy Jesse told him about God? Do you think that there were times in life that he sat around and he told him about all of the greats and all of the things that had taken place that had happened? You see, it occurred to me that something often overlooked in the story of David's confidence to stand in the midst of that 9-foot-9-inch tall giant is the influence that his dad had over him. Obscure as he may have been, I do think that Jesse did something right as a dad. He taught his children to trust in the Lord God. Now, let me tell you something today, dads. Whether you're here or whether you're out there, you can teach your children all kinds of things. You can teach them how to make a living. You can teach them how to play ball. You can teach them all these different things. But let me tell you one thing that I know. All these things are going to pass away. There's only one thing that matters for all of eternity, and that is their salvation. What is it the word says? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What is important? Dads, it is time that we teach our families the importance of a spiritual walk, because I will make you a promise. They're going to spend a whole lot more time with the Lord or with Satan than they are on this particular earth. And too many times what we're doing is we're busy teaching our children how to survive on this planet. I'm not saying that those are not important things, but they shouldn't be the most important things. The most important thing is the thing that's often left out. And I've said it time and time and time again. If a spiritual walk is not important to you, it will never, ever, ever be important to your children. Ever. Because they want to be just like you. I think about Jesse. I think about how he taught. See, obviously, three of Jesse's children, to see the three brothers that were there at the battle, they were fighting with Saul, and evidently they had not learned the lesson of faith that David did. Now, they grew up in the same household. They had the same daddy. They heard the same lessons. And a lot of y'all know, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You always look at it, and there are some of your children or some of your brothers and sisters, you are 180 degrees opposite of them. How many can testify to that? You know, you sit back and say, well, they must have been adopted or something. You grew up in the same house. You grew up with the same rules. You grew up in the same church. And you're completely opposite, completely different. Jesse had three sons that didn't get the overall spiritual picture, but he had one that did. And I'm sure that Jesse didn't just favor David and just teach him and say, let's not tell the other children. By the way, there were more children than this. Those were just the three brothers, other brothers that were in the battle. But they hadn't learned the lesson of faith that must have been taught by their daddy. They were not standing confident. They, like Saul and the rest of the army, were relying on their military strategies to conquer. Faced now with what seemed to be an insurmountable challenge, they were beside themselves and struck with fear and awe as they listened day by day, night by night, of the insults of the Philistine giant. You would think all of them. Jesse's three sons, Saul, the army of Israel, would have remembered the Lord God in such a time as that. It's interesting that nowhere in this story is there even the slightest hint of faith in the Lord, let alone mention of him until David shows up. Have you thought about that? This is Israel's army. Nope, hadn't thought about a thing. I don't think that David could have stood confident in the midst of a giant like Goliath unless he had first allowed his faith in the Lord to be a growing faith in the Lord. One that had been planted by his father Jesse. Do you see the unsung hero in this passage? David was what he was because the influence of his father Jesse. He had told him about all of the greats. He had told him about what God had done. He had shared that, and David believed it. And he said, I can be one of those greats. See, the thing about it was, it wasn't that David was just trying to go out and be great. He was trying to defend the honor of the God that he served. That's what it was about. See, the same is true for all of us. Our faith should be such that whatever giants that we come upon in life, we can take down because of our faith is inspired by the name of the Lord of hosts. Remember what David said? He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. That's how I'm coming towards you. Not in his own power, not in his own will, but in the name of the Lord of hosts is how David said, I'm coming to you. I'm going to whoop you three ways, hard, fast, and continuously. I like that, and I've referenced this before. I'm aging myself now, but I remember the original Billy Jack movie. Y'all remember that one? And I loved it. I've always loved that part where Billy Jack told that guy, he said, I'm going to kick you on this side of the face with this foot, and there's nothing you're going to do about it. And then Billy Jack turned around and kicked him on that side of the face with that foot, and there wasn't nothing he could do about it. See, let me tell you something. When it comes up to the unspiritual Goliaths in your life, God has given the power. When you go in the name of the Father, not because of your strength, not because of who you are, but who you represent. When I stand here today and when I walk out in life, I am going to represent my God, and I am invincible. When it comes to that, people sit back and say, well, don't you worry about it. I said, no, I don't worry about it. I said, because you know what? I am invincible until God's done with me. And when God's done with me, he's calling me home. He's calling me home. He's gonna call me to the house when he's done with me. Not until then. Not before that. Not after that. So I've got a plan. I've got a purpose. I've got something that I've got to be about, and that is the Father's business. Are we doing that? See, our faith and our actions upon our faith are going to stop a lot of giants flat in their track. Just like David stopped Goliath. Let's also remember something today. On this Father's Day, let's remember what old Jesse taught his sons. At least one of them remembered it and sought to live it. Like David, let's remember that we can come and go in the name of the Lord of hosts. You know what's really funny about this? You see a whole lot more about David. A lot more stories you read about David in the Bible, don't you? In fact, he was the one who was called the man after God's own heart. Do you ever see anything of his brothers ever again outside of this story? God uses those whom he calls for reasons and purposes. God uses those who make themselves available to be used by him. David made himself available. David believed That's the part I really, really love about it is that David believed with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his might that he was going to win that battle against Goliath. You see, because he remembered how big his God was, not how big the giant was. So people have asked me before, they said, do you think that David was afraid? And you know, this is my opinion. This is the gospel according to Roy. I think he probably was a little bit. But you know what? Courage does not mean absence of fear. Courage means doing what is right, even when there is fear. Do I believe that David really felt like he could whip Goliath? Yes, I do. Because he was standing on the promises of God. Do I believe that David thought he was going to be victorious when he stood against the giant? Yeah, I do. He did so with confidence. And here's the thing. You and I need to stand today in this day and age with confidence in the Word of God. I said before, I just came back from a convention where I was proud to be a Southern Baptist because for the first time in years and years and years, and I'll get to it a little bit later on when I get a chance to tell you, the first time I know of in 23 years, the SBC drew a line in the sand and said, this is who we are, based on God's word. My deal is, why did it take 23 years? People are not going to like you for being a Christian. They're going to try to take you out for being a Christian. In your job, in your community, they'll call you the goody two-shoes. It's time for a little self-righteous, I don't care, when we stand on the Word of God. But you better be standing on the Word of God, not the Word according to you. I listen to people today and it amazes me because they really believe the sewage that comes out of their mouth when it comes down to the Bible. Well, that's not what the Lord said. The Lord said this. And I'm like, well, show me where it says that in the Bible. And they will take some obscure piece of scripture out of context. And I'm like, you're one of the smartest people I know. How can you not get this? And they're like, what are you talking about? Well, I know how the part of the reason they can't get it. Now, don't get me wrong, because this is going to sound judgmental. But listen, if you don't have the Lord, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then the Bible is difficult for you, if not impossible for you to understand. I've talked to people before, and they said, well, I tried to read a Bible. It didn't make any sense to me. Well, then they got saved. Then they trusted Christ. And then after that, all of a sudden, hey, I'm understanding what's going on because you have the Holy Spirit, your teacher, your helper. The reason you're as screwed up as a bat when it comes to the Word of God is because the Holy Spirit's not teaching you. You don't have Him. Oh, and by the way, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, that means you don't have salvation. Oh, preacher's being judgmental today. Nope, just calling it like I see it. I'm not smart enough to try to angle around anything. It is what it is. It's plain old black and white. I sit with a bunch of pastors. I felt like a moron sitting with them, listening to their conversation. I really did. Oh, they're talking about all the metaphoric, nominative, passive case of the scriptures over in the New Testament gospel where Jesus was amidst the 5,000 people, and the hermeneutical breakdown of the ecclesiastical passage of the original Greek says that this case states, and I'm like, where are them little croissants? It got like the oysters in them. Can somebody pass them back over this way? And literally, I was sitting on a riverboat, and a guy asked me a question, and I said, I'll be honest with you, I didn't understand the question. I said, because you've used terms that I don't know. I said, let's stop making things so difficult. I did ask one guy, I said, could a child have answered your question? He says, well, I'm not sure. I said, well, I am sure, because I'm an adult and I can't answer your question. And I've had theological training. I said, the Lord said, unless we become like the little children, you'll not see the kingdom of heaven. If you can't explain it so a child can understand it, then you need to gear it back a little bit. Now, I'm not saying you can't go deeper as you mature spiritually, but for heaven's sake, let's quit making it difficult for people to come to Jesus. Maybe I'm a dinosaur. Maybe I'm a dying breed. But I like being a dinosaur. Because it's easy. It's simple. And I know what God called me to do. He didn't call me to committee whether or not to get my slingshot and go fight a giant. He didn't call me to assess the physics behind the rotations of the slingshot before the rock comes out. He didn't say that we need to get the dynamic of when to release the leather strap so that the rock may fly. Because last time I checked, I'm not good enough on my own. Only God could direct all that stuff at one time. And here's the cool part. I don't have to worry about them details. Let's quit getting hung up on details. Let's just love people into the kingdom of heaven. Let's make it so easy that they can't refuse Jesus. How about it? Dads, it's time for us to be a lot like Jesse. We teach our kids, and when they're old, they will stand strong. I guarantee you that if Jesse would have been there, he'd have been going, "That's my boy. That's my kid right there." I think he probably would have looked at the three brothers and went, "Haven't you gotten it yet? Look at your little brother. He's trusting God. He's believing God." Jesse was probably a little worried. Brad, you guys come on up. We're going to have our invitation in just a minute. Jesse might have been, if he would have had a chance to have seen it, Jesse probably would have been going, "I don't know if I'm going to lose my youngest son or not, but I'm going to tell you one thing, I'm proud of him. I'm proud of the stand that he's taken. I'm proud of what's going on." And if Jesse could have seen it, Jesse would have probably been going, "You go, David, come on, baby. I've seen what you can do. I trust what you can do. And when you put it in God's hand, pow." And when he hit Goliath in the middle of the forehead, Jesse would have probably been going, "That's right. God taught him everything he knew." And when he stood there and he held up the head of the enemy, he said, "Boys, that's what I've been trying to teach you. How powerful God is and how you're not." So what does this have to do with Father's Day? I encourage each and every one of us to be like Jesse. And all that takes place at home. Listen, if you're letting the school raise your children, they're going to be messed up. They're going to be messed up. I love teachers. I love their Christian influence. But I'm going to tell you something. If you allow the public school system to teach your children, I will promise you there are things that are going on that you don't know about that are contrary to God's word. You better get actively involved in your children's lives. And sometimes all it does is take us. I shared with you one time before where there was a book that I did not believe was right, and it was going to be a required summer reading. And y'all know me, as shy and backwards as I am, I went to the principal and I said, let me let you know something. I said, "Brother, I appreciate you. I appreciate all you're doing. That will not be required reading in my household for my son." I did this big Patrick Henry speech. I said, "Let me tell you one thing. I said, if you think this is good, I'm going to volunteer to come to the school, and I want you to let all the classes out for a certain period of time, and I am going to publicly read this book to them." You know why I said that? Because there is no way with the content and the language in that book and everything else, that that principal was going to allow that to happen. So I squared off to fight, and guess what he said? Here's the alternative book. I was like, oh, well, that was easy. But not a single solitary other person would do that. And I even told him, I said, look, all you got to do is go tell them you don't like it. They'll give you the alternative. This is the alternative reading. Not one single person did that. What does that say? Does it say they don't care? Oh, I'm appalled. I'm reading this. Well, you're letting your kid read it. You're letting that influence them, and all you have to do is go say, I don't like that. They'll give you another one. I did say to that particular principal, I said, if that's the way you feel about it and you're against it, then why do you allow it? He said, well, the Board of Education does that, and I'm retiring next year, and I just don't want to rock the boat. I said, well, at least you're honest with me. Appreciate that. We're looking for some Davids, and we're looking for some Jessies. I got a feeling we ain't got many of them in this world, but it's not too late. Dads, be the Jesse that you might create some Davids in this world. First of all, I'm asking you, have you trusted Christ? You can't understand anything without a walk and a personal relationship with Him. I mean that. Have you given your life to Him and said, Lord, you know, I realize I'm a sinner and I can do nothing. I'm hellbound right now. If you took your last breath, and folks, I'm going to tell you, it is staggering. I share this as a prayer request, but also a guy that I have driven with holiday tours stopped yesterday for a rest break. Had some passengers. They got off, hit the rest area. He went into cardiac arrest and went on to be with the Lord. Just like that, he was gone. Are you willing to bet your eternity on your position right now? Have you trusted Christ? Are you living for Him no matter what? Listen, if not, I don't even want you to wait. I want you to just simply bow your head in prayer and ask the Lord, say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need You as my Savior. I believe what Jesus accomplished through His death, burial, and resurrection. Come into my life. Save my soul. Help me live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, I mean this with all my heart. That's communication with God. If you did that and you meant it, then He's written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But it doesn't end there. That's just the beginning. He wants you to follow Him. You're part of the family now. Family's got rules, don't they? It's a family rule. He says, I want you to follow the family rules. They're written down in that book right there that a lot of you have. Some of y'all saw some of it up on the screen a little while ago. That's the rule book. But yet you'll see some incredible things. You'll take some incredible journeys. Maybe you're here today and you've been lacking in a lot of ways. You've been a slacker. Let's just put it that way. We all find ourselves there at some points in our life, don't we? And the Lord says, stand up, be counted. Stand strong in the midst of adversity. Can you do that? Will you do that? Maybe there's some things that we just need to get right with Jesus. First of all, when we start our invitation hymn, if you've trusted Jesus, I want you to just let us know. Let us celebrate with you. Man, don't hold that back. Don't be ashamed. Let us celebrate with you. Just say, come down and say, hey, preacher, I trusted Jesus today. This, if you're part of our online audience, you know, let us know. We want to celebrate with you. Those are the fun things, aren't they? We also want to help get you started on that walk of discipleship. Listen, discipleship is not hard. It's not complicated. It's cool. You'll love it, I promise. If you're not loving it, you're not doing it right. Let us help you. We'll journey together. Maybe you're here today and you just need a good old-fashioned altar. Is that okay to say that? Around Central Baptist, we still have a good old-fashioned altar. Right there it is. And we still have an altar call. What is the Lord calling you to? I'm asking you to make those decisions. If you need me, I'm here. If you need this altar, it's here. As we stand and as we sing our invitation hymn, you do business with God. As you continue to do business with God, can you say that with all the conviction in the world? There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one, and that's you. There's room at the cross for you. You still continue to do business with God, that your life may be changed as you leave this place today. I'm going to ask our ushers at this time if they would make their way down as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for all the provision that you provide in our lives. Lord, each and everything that we have comes from you. We're grateful and thankful. And Lord, I just pray that we truly would honor the tithe and the offering in a way that's pleasing in your sight. Lord, not only that your work may go forward, but Father, that we might receive a blessing, as your word tells us, that we cannot even begin to fathom. So Lord, help us as we continue to worship with the tithe and offerings, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Vicki. Just a couple things, and we're going to get you on out of here, because I know y'all are probably going to take Dad out to eat somewhere. If not, shame on you. But birthdays this coming week. Tomorrow, Grace and Bailiff will be celebrating a birthday. Friday, Cassidy Bailiff will be celebrating her birthday, and Georgie Queen will turn 21 this coming Friday. Right, Georgie? 21. If you have an opportunity, let those folks know how much you love them, and that you'll be praying for them as we go forward. Just a couple of quick things on the calendar. Like I say, I know I'm probably going to forget things, having been out of town last week, but we will not have evening services this evening because Father's Day. Be sure to spend some time with Dad. Give him a call if they're not with you, but enjoy the evening. let's see, the baby bottles. I want to mention those again. You can start bringing those in next week. Just set them right up here on the altar. I'll make sure they get where they're going. We will be taking those for a couple of weeks, but try to start bringing them in. I hadn't told you what to do with them before. I appreciate you keeping me straight on that. He said, well, you told us to take the baby bottles, but didn't tell us what to do with them. I'm like, you're absolutely right. I didn't. But we'll start bringing those back in starting next week, and we'll make sure they get where they're going. Don't forget, every Wednesday, 10 a.m., there's a men's breakfast at the Olympic restaurant. There's no agenda. It's just go eat and have good fellowship. So be sure if you have that opportunity, men, stop by for that. The 4th of July celebration will be in the gym on July the 1st. Is that right, Jim? On the 1st. There's a sign-up sheet back there as well. If you plan on coming, it's hot dogs, apple pie, and good old patriotic music. It'll be in the gym July the 1st from our very own brass led by Jim Kreider. On July the 29th, it's going to be flip-flops and T-shirts. All right, July the 29th. If you want to be a part of that or you want to know what that is, because I'm curious about what it is myself. But you can see Mari Wave, that's Mari, or Carol Boone. Carol can also give you some more information on that. It's a ladies' event on July the 29th. And then there's a ladies' beach trip that is planned October the 5th through the 8th. Marcia Wall is the one who's taking care of that. Marcia Wave, so everybody can see and know who you are. If you need some information on that or would like to be a part of that, like I say, it always scares me when the ladies go out of town because I don't know if I have enough bail money to get them out. What's that? Oh, I tell you right there, the wild bunch is already full, but there is a waiting list for those who back out. And I'm assuming it's like before, y'all have rented a house and you've got so much space in the house. But if you want to get on that waiting list, if you miss out, you're just going to miss out. Just make it next year that Marcia's got to rent like a whole building or something with the ladies being able to go. So they always have a great time. But talk to Marcia about that if you need any more information. Is there anything I've forgotten? I'm sure that there probably is. Millie, thank you again for coming back and pinch hitting for us. Millie's such a sweetheart. I still remember the first time I ever met Millie, she stopped by and she said, yeah, I know y'all got an organ. Can I just come by and play it? And we're like, well, yeah. We opened the doors and Millie would come by and play the organ, and then we just kind of roped her in, and she's been pinch hitting for Donna, and we just appreciate and love her so much. We don't get to see you as much as we have before because she's moved, but love her dearly, and she'll always be part of the family. So thank you again for everything. All right, guys, listen, let me say a word of prayer to dismiss us, and we'll get you on out of here. And like I say, I'll try to let you know more about decisions made at the Southern Baptist Convention this past week that was held in New Orleans, but that's for another day. Let's enjoy Father's Day and the Lord's Day today. Let's stand to be dismissed in a word of prayer. Our Father God, we thank you again for the fact that you still call men to accomplish your work and your will. Lord, you still empower us and you still give us strength. Lord, I pray that we will find ourselves like David, having the courage to stand strong in the middle of adversity. But Lord, I also pray that you will also give us the qualities of Jesse. Now, Lord, it doesn't say in particular how he brought up his children, but Lord, there had to have been a godly influence in the life of David that pointed him in your direction. Faith like that doesn't come without cultivating, and Lord, I'm grateful that Jesse cultivated that in David's life. Lord, we also read so many more stories about him. He wasn't perfect, but yet he was a man after your own heart. May we strive to have that title as well. Help us, Lord, as we go throughout this day. Lord, may we enjoy spending time with dads and with family today. And Lord, we just pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, love you. We'll see you next week.